get into a little bit of Italian football today here on World Football Daily. I'm delighted to say that we are ready to be joined by our guest for today. He's a man who is all things calcio and coffee, one of our favourite Italian football commentators with an English or Irish accent, should I say, and a very good friend of World Football Daily, a man I'm going to have to apologise to later on as well on the show. We'll get into that in just a moment, because joining us now to talk all things Serie A is Mr. Richard Whittle, joining us here on WFD. Richard, mate, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show in the early January. How was the festive season, mate? I hope you had a good one.
Very good. Relaxing. Of course, you know, Serie A had a break there for almost 2 weeks. And the great thing was to be back, actually. And it may be nice to have a break for a week or so. But one feels that for some teams, the festive break's what they need. But for others, you know, they come back and they come back a little bit slowly. And we definitely saw that over the last weekend. Of course, yesterday we had the matches on Monday because there's obviously a national holiday here, so they took advantage of that. So we saw some very interesting results.
It has been an interesting kind of first dive back into Italian football. I want to start and get this out of the way, because I don't know how much it will hurt, but the 3-0 loss to Juventus that Roma suffered on Sunday night. We said before the show, you said to me before the show, that you don't see this as being title over in any way, shape or form, even though Juventus did look obviously very good against Roma on Sunday.
Well, definitely, I don't think that the title race is over. You've got Juventus now 8 points ahead of Roma and 10 points ahead of Napoli. But you've got the whole second half of the season to go. Juventus have to go to Napoli. They've got to go to Milan. They've got Inter at home. They've got to go to Roma later on in the season, so we don't know if that will count or not. But certainly, up until March, Juventus have a lot of difficult games. Having said that, so have Roma and Napoli. Napoli have to go to Verona, of course, next Sunday, which will be a massive match. But there's so many matches to play. And I know that here, the Italian press have almost given up on the title. But I've seen, down through the years, I've seen certainly 10, 12-point advantages being reined in towards the end of the season. Anything can happen. Injury, suspensions. Of course, Juventus are no longer in the Champions League, but do have the Europa League, and the final is in Turin, so they won't be taking that lightly. And as Antonio Conte said, 8 points is nothing. And the worry is his players may be switching off and believing that the title is over. I don't believe that, and that's not Conte's way. As we saw on Sunday, he's very well prepared. But certainly, I don't think that the title race is over. And then also in that match, 3-0, the final score. But I didn't see three goals between the sides. Juventus played it very much like a European tie. They sat right back the first 15 minutes. I don't think that they created one chance. When they did, they got the goal. Then they sat back again. Before that, Roma could have been 1-0 ahead. Would have been a different match if Ljajic had taken that chance. Beginning the second half, as Conte always wants his teams to come out strongly, they got the second goal, a routine goal, that has to be said. And then from 2-0, obviously became difficult, but it wasn't as if Juventus then went pushing, looking for a third goal. They sat back again and nullified Roma completely. And for the home side to play in that manner, it shows that Conte showed Roma a lot of respect, and he wanted to get this game out of the way, because remember last season when they returned after the winter break, they had a poor run. They lost to Sampdoria, and if I remember correctly, they only won once in January. So he wanted to get off on the right foot, and of course a big boost for morale. But as I said before, still a long way to go.
It's Roma's first loss of the season against Juventus, and it's no sad thing to lose against the side that's on top of the Serie A table and to have won the last two league titles, of course. Does losing actually take the pressure now off Roma? Because everybody was talking about this undefeated run. Will they now kind of, they won't be guarding that, safeguarding that anymore?
Definitely, I totally agree. In a way, it can't be a good thing, of course, to lose. But when they look at their performance and when they analyse it, I'm sure Rudy Garcia will see things that he can improve, but he'll also take the positives from that. And also he'll say to the players, OK, we're back to the beginning again. We start again. let's go on another run. Let's go through January and February without losing a game. Let's keep up the pressure. It seems he is that type of person. In the past, we've seen that certainly I always remember Roma in January, very poor after the winter break, a team that does not like to go on to the winter break. Remember with Capello back in 2003-04 when they were leading the title race, it looked as if they were going to run away with it. They lost at the turn of January to Milan, who eventually went on to win the title, and then had a poor run. But I can't see it happening this time. They've got a good run of games coming up. Genoa at home, and then Livorno at home. So there's two games where you're looking for 6 points. And, of course, it all depends on Juventus as well, how they perform. But certainly for Roma, as you said, the pressure's off. There's no need now to consider the rest of the season going unbeaten. But they can start once again building a positive run. And they've got to also think that Napoli are improving as well. And Napoli are just tucked in behind them. And so they've got to keep Napoli at arm's length and at the same time keep in touch through to the springtime with Juventus. And as I say, the springtime is when March, April, when you really decide where the title's going to go.
It's unlikely that, as you just said a moment ago, that Milan will repeat that feat of closing down on Juventus in any way, shape or form and pushing for a title. But yesterday's result against Atalanta, a big boost to a Milan side that really needs a kick of confidence early on, sat down there after this last round of games in 11th place still in the Serie A table, starting off the year on the front foot at least. And it's similar to what we saw with Allegri last season.
Yes, Allegri came into the match and he said that this game is a relegation battle, and it shows how far Milan have fallen away. What is it, 22 points? They're one behind Lazio, one ahead of Cagliari in mid-table. Really sums it up. Whatever you say about beating Atalanta in the past, Milan wouldn't even consider a match against Atalanta more than a training match. All due respect to Atalanta. Of course, they lost Atalanta last season, and that was the beginning of, you could see that Milan were beginning to fall away. And certainly this season, it is that victory really papering over the cracks in the side. They had, of course, Brian Cristante coming in, an 18-year-old, great for the future. But you can't rely on an 18-year-old to run the midfield, in the centre of the midfield. Ricky Kaká back to... I wouldn't say to his best, because obviously he is in his twilight years, but got his 100th and 101st goal, which great for him, a great lift. So any little thing to lift the morale around the camp is going to be taken with a lot of gratification, if you like. But they've got to travel to Sassuolo on Sunday evening, and in the past you think, well, that's a banker for Milan, but if they slip up again against Sassuolo, again we're back into the negative feelings, as it is in football. You know, you can go, we've seen it, you can go a couple of games with a victory and then all it needs is a defeat and you're back into that negative territory, which Milan have been in with the things around the club, of course, with the new management, if you like, with Silvio Berlusconi's daughter, Barbara Berlusconi, taking over the reins more, and Galliani being pushed to the sidelines. There's an extra boost, of course, with the arrival of Honda, which we'll see how he fits into Italian football, but certainly that has got Milan back on the front pages in a positive manner. There's a big official unveiling is tomorrow, and that we'll see how he fits in with the side. But as I say, 22 points this season. When you look at Juventus 49, Roma 41, Napoli 39, it's a long way to go. Even to get into a European place, when we're looking at Verona playing so well, Fiorentina, of course, they can't be considered out of it yet, even though they've lost Giuseppe Rossi, unfortunately. They're on 36 points, Inter 31, so still a long way for Milan to go.
It's a long uphill struggle. What does Allegri's announcement that he won't be staying on after this season, does that affect the side, the players, in any way, shape or form in the second half of this year? Because they know that they're playing for a manager who's not going to be there and dealing with any problems come the end of the season next year.
Exactly, but on the other side, they're also playing for their futures. A new coach will come in. The odds on it will be Clarence Seedorf, and he will want to make changes, and he'll have his own ideas. So those players will be playing for their futures. So of course, for them on a personal level, they'll want to do their best, and plus they'll want to. Milan have to be in Europe. Of course, there's no divine right for any team to be in Europe. And Roma and Inter were out of Europe this season. But for Milan, who are in the only Italian club left in the Champions League, not to make Europe next season would be a big hit for them, for the club also to get new players in as well. So Allegri is professional. He'll be on his way in the summer, but he'll want to leave on a positive note. Getting Milan into Europe, be it in the top three, which, as we said, very difficult, or more than likely through the Coppa Italia, which starts this week, of course. And if he gets into the Europa League via that route, so be it. And it'll be a rebuilding program for Milan.
Well, as long as he gets us into Europe, I don't think I mind too much about that. Before we let you go, Richard, just what about the ins and outs this January in Italian football? There's discussion around Inter possibly bringing in some new faces. Roma we saw dabble slightly in August. You can imagine that Juventus might bring in somebody, although there's talk as well that they will be extending Andrea Pirlo's contract today. What are they going to be the big kind of contractual stories off the pitch in January, do you think?
Well, certainly when you think of Inter, they're in need of new faces. Last night against Lazio, they were pretty terrible. It has to be said. The problem for Inter, of course, is that maybe Guarin will be leaving, maybe going to Chelsea. And last night he was out of sorts in the match. So certainly the problem really with Inter is that the change of ownership. And the new owner getting his feet under the table and getting the advice. It could be a situation where they have to hang on and wait for the summer to bring in new players. D'Ambrosio, one feels from Torino, is a left back, so not a major signing, will probably arrive from Torino. And certainly the defence needs to be shored up. There's a lot of pressure in the midfield as well. Melito, of course, out for a long time, injured. So for Inter, there doesn't seem a lot of movement on the transfer market. For Roma, Nangolan will join them today. He's just arrived, in fact, in Rome for his medical. And that's a good signing for Roma in that midfield area, which suggests that maybe Bradley could be on his way. That remains to be seen. He wasn't brought on against Juventus, which was strange enough in that midfield area, maybe just to close things up, which suggests maybe there might be something going on there about a move. And, of course, Roma brought in Paredes from Argentina today, he's not a European citizen, so they've got to fit him in, probably loan him out, but also Bradley, not a European citizen, so they could do a swap there. As for Napoli, they look pretty good. They may try to bring in Gonolan from Lyon, who's a midfielder, and they certainly need somebody in that midfield area, in the defensive midfield area, with Barami and Ingler. Not that's probably the weak link of Napoli going forward. They're great at defence now, is certainly tightening up. They just need to strengthen that midfield area. Juventus, as you say, definitely Pirlo will be staying. How can you do without Andrea Pirlo? And Juve, by far the strongest team. Who do they really need to bring in? Tevez and Llorente up front. But look at coming off the bench. Vucinic can come off the bench. Quagliarella. Although, having said that, Quagliarella could go to Fiorentina. Now, Fiorentina have lost Giuseppe Rossi. Now, that could be up to, 3-4 months? They're talking 2 for recovery, but then rehabilitation, getting back to match fitness, you're maybe talking 3-3.5 months. And then you never know what complications. So Quagliarella linked with Fiorentina. Also, another one out of the blue, Di Natale linked with Fiorentina. Well, that could be a little bit more difficult. He had a little bit of an outburst at the weekend where he said he was retiring at the end of the year. He's feeling it now. Udinese slipping away, losing at home, of course, to Verona, where another old war horse, Luca Toni, continues to keep scoring and could be in the World Cup squad for Italy. But Di Natale could pop up at Fiorentina, although I don't think so. I think he'd probably just want to see out the rest of the season. For the rest, the usual movement around the lower reaches, with Milan, of course, picking up Honda. And then there'll be a lot of players just moving around with the lower clubs, a lot of loan signings, but nothing major, really major signings in January. Always difficult to bring in big names. Milan did it last year with Balotelli, and although Honda is considered a big-ish name, it's not in the same vein as Balotelli.
Balotelli is one name that has been mentioned as a possible move away from Serie A, as is Higuain, which there was the rumours of Chelsea offering £50 million for Higuain after it's been impressive in Italy this half-season for Napoli. But these are, you know, real whispers in the wind, so to speak, aren't they, Richard? There's no likelihood of these taking place.
Totally, no, not at all. Balotelli, he'll be staying at Milan. There's no doubt that he is still Milan's main focus and best player. Hasn't been on at his best. But part of the problem is what's surrounding Milan. Mm-hmm. The management, all due respect to some of his teammates, not at the level but he maybe thought he was coming to. And he's not the type of player, he's not like Ibrahimovic, who can take a whole team on his shoulders and enjoys that. Balotelli's a different type of player. Wonderful player, of course, and he will definitely be staying at Milan. There would be, I wouldn't say riots in the street, but there'd be a major disappointment if Milan
allowed him to leave. There were riots when he turned up, so if he leaves, then it could well be.
Know. And Higuain, there's no way. I mean, he's been such a wonderful buy for Napoli. And, you know, Napoli this season, new manager, new players coming in with a lot of changes. And they're in there. They're definitely in with a chance of, pushing for the title, if not one of the top three places, which is then for the Champions League. And, I think we've become so used now in football for instant success that, most of the time it doesn't happen. It didn't happen with Juventus when they came back up from Serie B. It took two and a half years to even get into Europe. And then from there they built Napoli. They've got a program ahead, 5-year program, to be a dominant force in Italian football and also make inroads into the Champions League. Roma, the same project ahead, a 5-year project. And if the season finishes with Juventus winners, Roma or Napoli second and third, all three of clubs will be very pleased with that. What we're looking after that is the improvement of Fiorentina, the improvement Hellas Verona. They are becoming the real surprise package of the season and the real team of the season. And personally, I hope they can keep it going and really mix things up. That forces the likes of Milan and Inter to rethink their policies about players they bring in, not just go for free transfers or big name signings, but to bring actual players through. And build for the future, because one feels that the future of Italian football will rely on these types of players that come through, don't cost a lot, as Roma have shown this year and last year with Lamela and Marquinhos, and then you can sell them on and bring other players through. Long gone are the days where Italian football can just delve into their deep pockets and buy whoever they want around the world. That is gone, so it's got to be changes. So I think positive times ahead. We won't see big moves on the transfer market, but at the same time, it's very exciting second half of the season ahead for us.
And it always provides entertaining viewing, does Serie A. Richard, we'll have to leave it there because I know you're a very busy man indeed, and I don't want to keep you for too long today, that's for sure. But we really appreciate you taking the time out to give us a fantastic overview of the January transfer market in Serie A as we head into the new year, and of course the second half of the season with Juventus starting to pull away from the pack. But I love you keeping the faith with Roma that they're still not out of it just yet. And I need to apologise to you as well, actually, Richard, because there was a list came out of some of the best football articles and pieces of football media of 2013, and we sent out a tweet from World Football Daily, and I sent out a list of all the people who come on World Football Daily who featured on this best of 2013 list, and I left your name off it. So I humbly apologise, Richard. I've sent one out today for you, giving you the full credit that you deserve, and I hope you can forgive us here at WFD, mate.
Of course, I can give you guys anything. Hopefully, I'll make the list next year.
I'm sure you will if you keep coming on World Football Daily with information like you give us today, mate. I would guarantee it almost very much. But for now, Richard, take care. Have a wonderful early start to 2014, and we hope we can catch up with you very soon indeed, mate.
Thank you as always.
Thanks very much. Richard Whittle there joining us here on World Football Daily, taking us through Serie A as the new season continues. You can find Richard as an Italian football commentator and, of course, writer at Calcio and Coffee, covering all things Serie A. Follow him on Twitter at RichWMan. That's Rich with a capital R, R-I-C-H, W with a capital W, of course, and Man, M-A-N, at RichWMan on Twitter. Richard Whittle, what a top guy. Join